Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 642. I am Chris, and evidently not, as always, joined by Tony, because he is not here yet, but Earl is.
I'm just going to say, I just got word from Tony that he's got his editor. He's going to be indicted again this week. That's why he's not here with us.
Oh,
he's okay. Making his way to, you know, be arraigned for like the fifth time in the next 3 months. So he's a busy.
Good luck, Tony. Good luck. Jeff is here as well.
I also have a letter from Tony. Hold on, let me check it. It says Pikmin 4 is game of the year and also strategy game of the year. Wow.
That's going to hold up in court.
Yeah, that's a bold statement by Tony, but we'll see how that pans out in 4 months. Jeff, we should probably delay Pikmin talk to see if Tony is able to join, because I don't know if he's played any. I've played a little bit. You finished it, so.
Well, kind of.
Well, you saw credits, right?
Like
you
saw credits. Yeah.
I mean, there's more to play, but you beat the game. Like, and there's after game stuff.
Yeah, I am in the process of 100%ing that game. But yeah, all right. Well, I'll, if you guys want, I will reveal later like what you could do after you beat it.
Sure. Let's wait a couple minutes on that. See if Tony's able to jump in if he gets out of his arraignment early or not. But we could talk about the other game though that hit the Switch, Disney Illusion Island. Which
you bought this.
I did. I violently threw Pikmin 4 away.
Jesus, so, yeah.
No Pikmin cartridges were hurt in the making of that.
I'm surprised you didn't strip the fucking cartridge.
I had prepped because I tried to film it all in one take, and I like dropped the phone, and so I just like prepped everything where it was like I slit the Disney Illusion Island case so that I could just rip the plastic off. I popped open the cartridge slot and pressed up on it so I could just grab it. you guys have moved cartridges in and out of Switches before. It is not the easiest of processes.
I thought it was.
Getting that door open is not super easy. Like pressing the button, it does it's very springy. Like, but you can't just rip it out. Like it's not a Game Boy cartridge.
Yeah, you're supposed to push down on it.
I think people do rip it out though.
That's crazy. Like just press down, it'll pop up and you can just grab it.
I honestly thought you ripped it out. Like the way that's how it looks.
I mean, it probably did look that way because I had already pre-popped it up. So Disney Illusion Island is out. It is a full-on Metroid type game. Like you get story mission early on, like you get some cutscenes, some good voice acting, it's kind of funny. And then Mickey and Minnie, Donald and Goofy go off and they are given a quest, and you start exploring this map, and there are areas that you cannot reach without getting power-ups. Basically, you're moving through the map and it's like, oh, you can't get over this jump, so you need to like explore to find the guy who will give you basically what's a double jump. So you find him, he gets double jump, and then there's like you get like a wall jump, and like it's all very basic platforming stuff, but you know, it's how they've set up this very simplistic Metroid type game. I think the world looks great, like very cool art style. People early on were saying, oh, it's like Rayman. And I actually saw people in like, you know, review comments going like, oh, this is like Rayman Legends or Rayman Origins. Like, it's not like that at all. Like, it is a Metroid game. Like, it is one continuous open world, like, map that you are exploring, unlike Rayman, which is it's a level. You run through that level. Well, there is no level here.
What reminds me of Rayman though is just like how it looks, like the
visual art style. Yes,
it's like you're kind of like small in this. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it, but it looks like
Rayman. It does. It will like and in like Rayman, like it'll move in a little bit sometimes, and it'll pull back. So like sometimes you get this big grand kind of view, and like whoever you're controlling, Mickey, Donald, whatever, they look really small on the screen, and then sometimes it'll zoom in, and you'll be a little bit more close as things are going. There's boss battles where it's like you're zoomed in a little bit more, so you look more normal sized.
Yeah, but even zoomed in or whatever, it's just like that cartoony style that looks like the recent Rayman games.
Yep.
Also, you know, I haven't played this game yet, but I love that the cutscenes look like the new Mickey Mouse cartoons that they do.
And yeah, that's how they like they're written like that. It's I think they're actually pretty funny. They have you know, Mickey and Minnie are their normal cheery selves. Goofy is a goof, and Donald is a complete sarcastic curmudgeon. Like he is fantastically written in this, I think. Like he has the best lines. And he's always getting like the shittiest power ups. Like it's like you get items to do your special jump. So it's like you get a double jump, but like Mickey gets like a rocket or something, and Donald will get something shitty. And like he comments on it each time too. He's like, "Oh great, I'm last. Like, what's that mean? I get like a plunger or something?" And he does. Like that's how he double jumps.
That's how they like animate their double jumps or whatever.
Like the double jump or the wall jump. Like the wall jump, he uses a plunger to like, you know, bounce back and forth. So it's neat. Like and each of them are different. So if you're playing single player, you can only play as one at a time. But if you were to play multiplayer, like you'd have all the characters or however many people you're playing with, and they'd all animate differently, like their wall jumps and their double jumps and their ground pounds.
So, if you're playing single player, you could choose who you're playing as.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And are you like running around solo then, or do you have like a computer player?
Yes. No. So like when. Like the four will show up in cutscenes, but when you start playing again, they'll just poof out of the game. It's like really goofy. Like they'll actually poof. Like a smoke will billow up from them. Like they've thrown a smoke bomb down, and they just disappear. And then you take over the character you've said you wanted to play. I don't think you can flip on the fly, but every time you jump in. Like every time you start the game, like you from a safe, you know, from a, you know, if I were to shut the game off and come back in and restart it, in that save, like I can then pick, oh, I want to be Donald this time, or I want to be Minnie. So when you start your play session, you're starting as whatever character you chose as. There may be a way to flip on the fly. I haven't figured it out.
I heard there's no drop in, drop out either. Like I've watched, I think the IGN review probably for it.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. It looks like you would have to, the way the game is set up, you choose your character from like this, like when you go, all right, I'm going to play, you choose your save slot, you know, I'm 21% into the game, you hit that, then it'll bring up another screen where it has like four horizontal bars or vertical bars going across the screen. And like first one is player one, and like you select your player there. I assume the other three slots are for players two through four. I also don't think there's any online. Local co-op only.
Seems like I don't get why they don't do that, or like why.
It seems like a missed opportunity to like do it that way, but it is a $40 game instead of a $60 or $70 game, so it might just be that they didn't invest in the, you know, the infrastructure to do the matchmaking and stuff.
And yeah, maybe how much would people even use it? Yeah. You know, like I think the new Super Mario Brothers games let you do online, but it's like, I've never played it with you guys online. Like, I don't know.
They don't.
They yet. Don't. What no. was the game? I don't know. I thought the recent one.
So it was 3D World. 3D World let it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think
we all got it, and we never played it, so that would be a fun one.
I've hit on several people.
Yeah.
I haven't. I am willing to play. I mean, I'm willing to play any Mario game if it's possible, like with people. Like, they're fun.
I think I recently replayed that. Was it Bowser's Fury? It's called.
Yeah, yeah. Like the one on the island.
The add-on to it. Yeah, yeah, it's so cool. But
Illusion Island, very good.
Going back to what you said though about the price, it's like that's the main thing that's held me back from buying it though, because I just hearing that it's like 6 hours, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I usually don't like to think about games that way. Like, I usually just would rather, if it's good, it's good. But
I don't know. Like, I am
so short for $40. It should be like 30.
And maybe I'm nearing the end. Like, it says I'm only at like 21%, but there's so many collectibles and like other things to do that maybe I just haven't done that yet. And maybe the game does, like, maybe the game ends at like 40 or 50% completion, and then like the rest of the game is collecting them. But I played about 3 hours of it, and it says I'm like a quarter of the way done.
I guess that's about the right length for that type of game. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a ton of like cool stuff to there's like all these little different collectibles, and the hidden Mickey ones I think are the neatest ones. Like, if you know anything about Disney, like Disney World, there's these Mickeys that are hidden all over Disney World, and in the game they have these hidden Mickeys, and you get a camera that you can like use to capture them. But you have to get your player in position, and sometimes it requires jumping and then hitting the button at the right time. Sometimes you have to jump off a ledge and drop, like, and try and hit the right angle to hit them. So that they're actually pretty neat. So I've been like screwing around with that. There's like lots of neat historical stuff from the collectibles. Like, you get these little wisps, and I think it's like every 50 or 100, you unlock something in the menu. And then if you go look at it, it's like historical stuff from, you know, Disney cartoons, specifically like, you know, Mickey, Donald, Goofy, Minnie cartoons. But there's like some neat like imagery and historical context for that stuff. So I'm enjoying it. I think it's very well done. It is very easy though. Like, it is, I think I've died once, and I was just kind of like screwing around. When I died, I didn't die at the boss that I fought. There is no attack, at least not yet. So, like, you're basically just jumping over enemies to avoid them. And then the boss fights are, the one I did at least, is you have to, like, jump on these different platforms and hit the switches. And then when you hit all the switches, it'll, like, damage the boss, and then it'll start phase two, which is something similar but a little bit harder.
Kind of like platforming based boss, like indirect. Yes. Yeah.
Which I really enjoy. Like, I enjoy that type of boss fights. Instead of just like, oh, I'm gonna like beat this thing up or shoot a gun at it. Not that those can't also be fun, but I do enjoy like the puzzle type, like how do I work this out? Like, what's this, you know, how do I time my jumps? You know, they'll drop stuff on the floor, so maybe you can't, if you fall to the floor, you'll get damaged, and then you'll have to like try to climb back up, so you don't want to fall on the floor, so you're trying to do like trickier jumps to stay afloat. It's neat. Yeah. And that art style goes a long way.
I think for me too, just liking those like the classic Disney characters.
Yes.
I mean, you guys know me, like, I fucking love that epic Mickey game. Like,
yeah, it's great.
Just, you know, being in like that type of world.
I wouldn't doubt that in 2 months or by Black Friday that you can get that game for like 15 or 20 bucks though. So
I'm sure there'll be sales. Honestly, I think when I run out of Pikmin, I'll probably just buy it. I'm at the point where I'm still really enjoying Pikmin, and also I waited 10 years for this. Why rush to get the next thing when I'm still having
fun? Yeah, no.
But I see it happening within the next week.
I'm really enjoying it. I think it's fun. It is, as I said, it is a simple Metroidvania, but that aesthetic.
Fine, yeah.
The writing, I think these are the same people that did the recent Battletoads game on Xbox. The writing for that was pretty solid as well. It's kind of like very sarcastic in its presentation. So I'm enjoying that. Let's stick with Disney real quick. I don't want to spend too long on it, but Disney Speedstorm Season 3 launched this past week.
All of Season 2.
So you missed Toy Story. You missed Buzz and Woody and Bo Peep and Jesse. Jesse is like the girl cowboy, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So those were the four that were in that one. I missed most of Season 2, but the way that, the way their chapters work, I was able to jump in the last like week and a half and unlock everything. I was able to play most of those levels, and I got about 2/3 of the way through all the chapters, but I was able to unlock all four of the characters. This season it's Lilo and Stitch. I think they've added the best course to the game at this point. It's on Hawaii, which is where Lilo and Stitch takes place. It takes place on a volcano, and there are these like platforms that, depending upon which version of the map you get, there's these platforms that have lava, so you'll have to like jump between the platforms using the jump button, or you can take the longer way around, which is safer, but it's not as quick. So I think like I'm adding like little obstacles in for you to kind of jump around on. It's pretty neat. There's like risk reward in it too, right? So like if you go that route and you miss the jump, you're going to end up in the lava, which is going to put you back. So I think that's pretty neat. There's 5 new characters. Stitch is like the easiest one to get. It's like Stitch in this one Jumba or something. I don't know who Jumba, Angel, or the other guy is. My kids say that the two bigger dudes are the bad guys. And Angel is from Lilo and Stitch 2, which I've never seen. But she basically is just a pink version of Stitch.
See, that's the one thing that makes me sad, though, is it feels like we don't get the R era of Disney out of this as much. Like, yeah, you get Steam, like, classic stuff.
That's something I was talking about with my son, is that like we're really early into this too. And we are. We're like, Minnie and Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck are coming this season. They're just like the free mid-season add-ons that were like Steamboat Willie and Steamboat Pete were added last season. So we're getting them. They're adding those classic characters in there.
Yeah, you get the classic era, but I don't foresee a season of it based on like The Lion King. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like that stuff is represented as much. Like,
I think
the Little Mermaid, Lion King era.
I think you will get stuff like The Little Mermaid. I don't know if you'll ever get The Lion King, just because they're not necessarily like anthropomorphic. they talk, but they're not like human size, so like putting them in a car seems weird. My son and I were actually talking about it. He was like, they could do a car season, and he's like, that would be funny, a car driving a car. And I'm like, if they did a car season, you'd just be the car. like you'd just be Lightning or Sally or Mater. You wouldn't be Lightning driving a go-kart. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Would be cool.
Maybe it's a little more meta than that. Be the car. You can be the car.
There's so much that they could add. I want more of the classic stuff though. Like, give me Robin Hood. Like Maleficent, you know, from Sleeping Beauty. Give me like that stuff. I don't know if you'll see that. I think season 4 will be Frozen, right? Like, it's going to be going to be the more modern Disney stuff, and that's fine. Like, that stuff's cool too, but
it makes sense.
Some of that classic stuff.
Yeah, it makes sense that they would focus more on the modern era, but you know, it would be. I mean, at least like you know, we are getting like some of the classic characters and stuff like that. But
yeah, and those are just, you know, if you do to get them, basically you just have to like do one race in their event, and then you'll get them unlocked when that event's over. That's how Steamboat Pete and Steamboat Willie, Steamboat Mickey went.
I just really fell off that game, and despite the fact that it's fun, like the core mechanics are great. I should get back into it.
And they've just if you go back into it now, they've just updated everything. They've changed the way the starter circuit works. So basically, all the old awards have been wiped away, but they'll just give them to you if you have previously played the game. Cool. So you'll actually get double the awards. So all those shards and stuff for like Jack and Mulan and Hercules, you'll get again. Which will allow you to, you know, rank up them a little bit faster. I'm enjoying it. We'll see how this plays out, because it does go free to play, I think, in the middle of September or early October. Right now, like, that stuff's still not evident. They did add a way for you to buy season coins, but you still can't buy them with real money. You have to buy them with their other in-game currency, which you can't buy with real money yet. So I think they're prepping that stuff to come in, and we'll see. But the one cool thing, and I'll talk about this on when I do the carding episode of it, but when you get it free to play, you're basically getting all of that stuff for free. Like, any of those characters you can play in private matches. So if you're playing at home on your couch, you know, with your friends or your kids, everything's unlocked. Like, from the get-go, you'll have all 25, 30 characters. You'll have the 13 courses. Everything will be there for you to play privately, 4-player split screen. I think that's pretty neat that, like, you get this pretty complete game for free, and then all this extra stuff if you want to engage in the multiplayer and the unlocking of characters and stuff. All right. Well, Tony has joined us. We heard him chime in there.
I'm here.
Tony, did you get to play any Pikmin 4?
I did not, no.
Okay, well, sorry, Jeff is going to talk about it.
Told you not to wait.
You're right. I did not know if he gave it any go or not. I played about 90 minutes.
I didn't want to start it and, like, lose it to Baldur's Gate immediately. That didn't make any sense.
And what happened was, like, I started it, and then I played some Disney Illusion Island. Then I played a little bit more Pikmin, but then I put Disney Illusion Island back in and haven't stopped playing that yet, so... I've only played about 90 minutes to 2 hours of Pikmin 4 so far, Jeff. Yes, I've actually played. Like, I've gone out on... Like, they've given me the first big area.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm going out there and I'm exploring. And then they're like, oh, you have to come in now because it's nighttime. I guess you could stay out. I don't know. I didn't.
Like,
you can't stay out?
No. I don't know if you have it available right away. You could do night expeditions, but that's different. It's not like you stay out all night. It's like, you know how when you start your day, you have like a base camp, and then you're like, oh, I want to go out to explore and whatever.
Yeah.
You will get the option to go out and do a night expedition instead, but it's not like you go out and explore all day and stay out all night. Like, it doesn't... Once the nighttime hits, you're going back to base, and anything that's left out, like if you left some Pikmin out there, you'll see them getting eaten as you go. Oh,
yeah. So they were like, make sure all your Pikmin are back in by nighttime. And I was like, I don't know how to get more Pikmin. So yeah, I'm just gonna.
You don't know.
Well, I know how to get more, as in like, oh, there's like these little flowers that have like a one or a five on them. Mm-hmm. I knock them down. But if all my Pikmin die, like, is it game over? Like, do they grow back? Like
one will sprout. And
okay,
then,
like, you can go recollect them.
I don't think you're will ever be in danger of losing them all on this one. I don't know, but. Yeah, also, like, stuff that you kill, like, if you kill a giant bug, you know, you carry that back, and that'll give you a lot of Pikmin, like, you know, say a giant bug, you know, it takes 20 Pikmin to carry, I think you'll get, like, 20 Pikmin off of it, you know.
Okay, so I didn't know if that was, because right now it's like, I have a limit on how many my onion will sprout for me.
You have a, if that's how many you could like take out, but yeah. you could like in your inventory you have like hundreds. It doesn't, you know.
Yeah, so it's like you can hold like, I don't know, it was like 30 or whatever that I can have like controlling at one time, but then like I had more in my ship or wherever it was. So
And that's, I think I mentioned that last week, is like, I think that's one of the things that's neat, is there's like meaningful upgrades out there to find, and you know, you'll find onions that, you know, will upgrade your onions, so that, you know, every time you find one, I think it's like 10 more. I'm up to 90, which is messed up. Like,
it's a lot.
Well, the regular like Pikmin 1 through 3, like right from the beginning, you could carry 100 out in the field, and I'm actually like, I am post game right now. And there is like a giant fruit in one of the levels that I want to pick up, but it requires 100 Pikmin to pick up. And
you need the other upgrades.
So I need to find one more onion to increase how much I could carry by 10, so I could pick this fucking fruit up. It's just wild to me that like I've pretty thoroughly like gone through this game, and I somehow do not have 100 Pikmin yet. It's like kind of annoying. Anyway, yeah, I beat the game, and I like it a lot. I think Pikmin 1 will always be my favorite, but I think that this is, you know, kind of objectively the best Pikmin game, and just kind of the most accessible in a way. Not that I don't feel like any of them are like hard to learn or anything, but this is more so accessible to people. Like, they smartly built it for as large an audience as they could get, and since you have this base on the Switch, I think it's doing pretty well, right?
Seems like it.
So as you're going through the game, it'll be like, you know, every treasure you collect gives you more whatever points, and once you get enough, you can unlock the next level. So I don't know if you see that counter yet, like when you're
collecting. Yeah, you got the well, so like
you need 700.
The tutorial areas, like you got to get to like 300, and then it launches you to the bigger place, and it's like, now I need 1500 or something.
Yeah, to unlock level 2. So like you're in level 1, and to unlock level 2, you'll need 1500. But as you're going through the game, like when you're in level 3, you're like, fuck. There's not giving me a counter anymore. Is the game only 3 levels? There's a 4th level. I think I said this.
Yeah.
This last week. And the 4th level is where you beat the game. Now, each level that you get is bigger than the last. Level 2 is bigger than level 1. By the time you get to level 4, it's pretty huge. Like, it's going to take you multiple days to find
everything. I think I'm only on level 1. I was like, level 1's pretty big. Like, it's a pretty big area.
Each one, like, for sure gets bigger. And the 4th one is, like, pretty massive. Then you beat the game, and you get a few rewards for beating the game. One of those rewards is a level 5, which is massive. Like, I have spent several days, like 3 or 4 days exploring in level 5, and it's like, you found 16% of treasures. Like, what? Like, how many fucking treasures? Like, how big is this fucking place? So that's really cool. Like, that was a nice surprise. And then, like, it's not just like, oh, here's a level 5. Like, the story kind of continues after you beat the game. So it's like, honestly, I don't know why they didn't just make level 5 part of the game. But it makes it seem almost cooler because you know, oh, I beat the game and I unlock this like gargantuan area.
So like you don't leave the planet after level 4. It's like you're still there.
You do, but then it's like, oh, the dog, you know, he can't, like, he gets sick once you head out into space, and you're like, oh, well, we need to find this doctor that can figure out how to fix him, and. So, like, you do get the ending where it's like, oh, you're kicking off, you're going to space. But then, like, if you continue the game after the credits, it's like, oh, the dog gets sick in space and there's something wrong with him.
We need a vet.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And so, like, we go to this fifth level and find this person. So, like, honestly, you could have just made it part of the game, but it does seem kind of cool that it's like, oh, it's like a surprise. There's a further surprise, though, and that's the one, like, me and Earl were, like, really curious about, like, because I think it was, like, IGN's review was like, oh, if you like Pikmin 1, you're really going to like what you get when you unlock the game, or, you know, beat the game. And so the whole game is about, like, saving this rescue corps, and this rescue corps was going to save Captain Olimar.
Yeah.
After you beat the game, you could play Captain Olimar's story and like see what he was doing before you guys got there. And that is that's timed. And in the original Pikmin, it was you have 30 days to collect 30 ship parts. And this is very similar to that, except you have 15 days to collect 30 ship parts. It's hard. I failed. I think I got 21 ship parts out of 30. Playing through that campaign. That campaign goes through the same levels that are like in Pikmin 4. I almost expected them to be like the Pikmin 1 levels or something, but no, it's just it goes through the same levels as Pikmin 4. Might only go through like the first 3 levels as far as I could tell. But that's a fun, neat, you know, and it feels different. Like, it feels like a separate, like, secondary campaign, which is really neat. You know what I mean? Like, it's a nice, nice, like, reward for beating the game. Yeah, I was like, I, like, tried it. You know, I'm still playing through the fifth level that you unlocked after beating the game, and I started this Captain Olimar story, and I played all the way through it and failed. Like, it got me so hooked because, you know, it just felt different. Like, when you're doing the Captain Olimar story, you don't have the dog right away. So it's like, you can't jump. And it's like, oh, this is like back to old school Pikmin for me. You know what I mean? Like, this feels different now. Like, you realize how much the dog added to it. But anyways, yeah, like, I was really enjoying the game. But, like, I think all the things you get after you beat the game is, like, making me enjoy it more. I put 22 hours into reaching the end credits, and I'll probably put double that into, like, I'm in the process right now of 100%ing all the levels. Like, I'm on a third level trying to 100% it.
And do you think that you were you trying to 100% them before you got there, or
I was trying to take my time? I wasn't trying to 100% them before that. No, things get easier as you go along. That's the other cool thing. Like, back at your base camp, you could buy upgrades and stuff, right? And so, eventually, you'll be able to buy, like, a thing that shows you, like, when you pull up your map, it'll show you where all the treasures are.
Got it. Yeah, that's what the engineer guy and the mud. Yeah.
Like, I got a thing now where I could pull up the map, look at where treasure is. I'm like, oh, I see where treasure is, and just click go there. Close the map, and you're, like, automatically start running across the map towards where you want to go without having to think about it. So you constantly get, like, more and more. That's another cool thing, because, like, none of the other Pikmin games had stuff like that. Well, kind of. They had a few things like, oh, you get a radar, so now you have a map. But, like, this is, like, you could level up the dog, you could, you know, give yourself a headlamp or in caves. Like, there's just a lot more upgradable stuff to it.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you said about 22 hours took you.
And that was me, like, taking my time. I would imagine a lot of people, it would, like, be us.
Yeah, well, it seems like the... on How Long to Beat, it says, like, main story is 15 and a half hours is the average now, but main plus extra, which is probably what most people play as, unless you're like mainlining it. It's now at 25, so you're like right in line where people are.
I think like since you guys, it's like your first actual Pikmin game playing through. You probably won't be on the lower end. You'll probably be closer to like 20 hours. You know.
Yeah.
Because near the end, I got like kind of like. The last level, you have to find three, like, treasures, like, three specific treasures to unlock, like, a door to get to the end of the game, and it was hard for me to find them. Like, it was just, like, the level was a little confusing, like, where, you know, how the fuck do I get up on this thing that's up high, and, you know, I spent, like, multiple days in the game, like, just trying to figure out how to progress in the last level. And I'm someone who's played all the Pikmin games, so it's like, I imagine you guys will be finding your bearings a little bit more.
Yeah, like I played like a little bit of 3, and that's it, so.
Yeah. What day are you on, then? Day 2?
I'm like day 2 or day 3. Yeah. I'm like really early. Like they're still giving me tutorial pop-ups, but I am like able to explore now. It's not, like that tutorial area was very, do this, and now it's like, go do what you want, but it's like slowly unlocking areas for like, I've moved my onion, my base now.
I like how you could do that too. That's neat. So to give you an idea, I think I rolled credits on day 32. And like I said, I think most people would like roll credits before then. I think you guys will be kind of closer to me just because it's like new to you. Like, you know,
trying to figure it out and yeah. All right. Well, I will be taking that on vacation with me, so
woo.
I'll probably be playing a bunch of it.
Next week. It can suck you in, man. It's one of those games you could waste a whole afternoon on.
I'm looking forward to it. I really love that aesthetic. So
yeah.
And Tony will get to it, but it may be a bit.
Yep. My kids still have it too. They've been playing it all week, so I haven't really gotten it in my hands.
And now you have Baldur's Gate 3. So.
Yeah, and there are no other games at this point.
how is Baldur's Gate 3, which you ate for lunch today?
I did. I had played it a little bit earlier this week, mostly so that I could buy it and get the. Like the early access DLC for free.
Mm-hmm.
If you waited until today to buy it, then you got screwed. You didn't get that DLC. So sorry, but the price is the same. So I it went live at like 11 a.m. this morning. So I installed it, and I've been playing it basically all day. It's pretty much all I've done. And it is awesome. It is fantastic. You start off creating your character. The game is, I don't want to say Dungeons & Dragons through and through. That kind of, like, undersells it. Like, it makes it maybe seem, like, more nerdy and obscure than it is. Because it does most of, like, the hard stuff under the hood, so you don't have to worry about, like, rule books and knowing how everything works and all that stuff.
Right.
But it still, like, has the cool, like, if you have to do a skill check, you actually roll the die in the game, which is kind of cool.
That's neat.
And there's a narrator who narrates stuff, depending on what happens. But yeah, being able to actually, like, see the D20 on the screen and, like, roll it is, like, I kind of thought it would pull me out, and it kind of, like, makes me love it more. And it also shows, like, all the modifiers, like, really clearly and really simply. So, like, if you were trying to learn Dungeons & Dragons, this would be a great way to do it, as opposed to reading all of the books.
They're so difficult to understand.
they really are. Like, the only way to learn Dungeons & Dragons in, like, paper form is to learn it from somebody who already knows it.
Yes.
And now there are so many like different editions and whatnot. It's just really hard. But so I you start off, you create your character. My dude is a dragonborn sorcerer, which I thought was a nice combination. The dragonborn is like, I think it's new to the fifth edition.
Yeah, it's not it's not a class I've ever heard of before.
So you're like, you're basically, I don't want to call him a lizard dude, but you're a lizard dude. But you have a breath weapon.
Wait, what does that mean? Like you breathe fire?
You breathe, it depends on what kind of dragonborn you are. My guy breathes frost, but you can be like the kind that breathes fire.
So like, and in D&D, there's like ice dragons, fire dragons, poison dragons.
Yeah. Like so depending on the lineage of your dragonborn qualities, you can breathe any of those things. And then I went with sorcerers. Like sorcerers are better than wizards. Sorry, wizards. With your meditating on your spell book and all that stuff, I prefer to learn things the natural way.
So I know like the characters, the classes I've ever played in D&D, but
yeah,
like what is the difference between a sorcerer and a wizard? I know like some magic users have to, like, at the end of the day they have to re-study their spell book, which
that is what a wizard is. So a wizard has their spell book. They've learned magic through years of careful study and hard work. A sorcerer, on the other hand, has an innate power that they use to cast their spells.
Okay, so they're basically Jedi, whereas wizards are like, we've figured out the science of magic.
Yes, exactly. Very similar in game terms, but the spells they learn are different.
Okay.
I think the wizards can eventually learn some much more, I won't say powerful, more interesting spells, some very varied ones. Sorcerers tend to get stuck on whatever path they're on and learn more specific spells. But I always find when I'm playing as a magic user in games, I kind of find like my path with my wizard that causes the most destruction. So it doesn't really, like, I don't need a wide variety. So you start off the game, you've been captured by a mind flayer who puts this little like wormy thing into your brain.
Fun.
And he's flying around in his ship that crashes, and he dies. And the crux of the story is you have this thing in your brain, and you need to figure out how to get rid of it before the thing in your brain not necessarily eats your brain, but turns you into a mind flayer. And if you've seen a mind flayer, they're like, they look kind of humanoid, but they have these like tentacles coming out of their mouths.
Dude,
they're disgusting.
They're so awesome. They're in like the Dark Souls games and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like squid heads, right? Like, dude. Kind of ish.
Yeah, kind of squid headed people. Yeah. Yeah.
When you see them in Dark Souls 3, they like literally drain your health bar by looking at you. Like, not drain your health, drain your health bar just by looking at you. I love and hate the mind flayers.
Oh, that's gross.
So you crash, you end up walking away from this ship. I think it's kind of funny if you go back to like the beginning of the studio's last two games, Divinity Original Sin and Divinity 2. They both started on the beach.
Yes.
In this one, the thing crashes and you come out and guess where you are?
Jesus
Christ. All these games start on the beach. I don't understand why.
Do you play any on the boat or the ship or whatever?
Yeah, so basically the tutorial is on the ship.
Yep. That's a Larian Studios game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. you crash and now you're out in the world and you're doing things. As you roam around like the wreckage of the ship, you meet the people who become your party. And then, you know, you go off to have wild adventures. The cast of characters is pretty cool. There's like an orc woman who I don't know that there's been like an orc main character in any of the other Baldur's Gate games, but in this case she's very angry and wants to kill everything. It's very nice.
Okay.
One of them is a vampire. One of the other party members is a vampire, which is cool. There's a druid. I don't know if he turns into anything yet. I don't think he's high enough level right now in my party to turn into anything. But we'll get to that part eventually. But you go around, you discover, check out the world and learn things about it and, you know, kill the things that you run into. It's real time, except when battles start, in which case it switches to Dungeons and Dragons type turn-based play. It rolls for initiative to start the battle. So if you ever played Dungeons and Dragons, that's the first thing that always happens at the start of the battle. You roll for initiative. If your people are close together, they'll all get to act together. If they're spread out, they can be like acting in and amongst the enemies who may have different initiative roles. And then you have that basic top-down turn-based RTS play. You walk around, you cast spells. I don't know, it looks great too. The whole like if you cast a freezing spell, like there's ice everywhere, there'll be ice on the ground. There's a lot of environmental effects. If you're casting I really like there's a shard of ice spell that does a lot of damage on the person, but also makes everything around them like a sheet of ice. So as soon as they start walking, they fall over. And I've spent a lot of time coming up with things that make enemies fall over. Like you can get bottles of grease that you can throw during the battle.
You can
light the grease on fire. Like that's nice. But you can also just use the grease as like, oh, it's slick now. And look at you try to walk across it and fall down.
What was that, Earl?
I was going to say, can you do that? You say the grease. Can you do that with like, if you had a dragonborn who shoots fire, you can just do that then too? Like, does it work in that combination?
So, like, you throw the grease on the ground and then shoot fire to light it on fire?
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that.
That is fun.
Yeah, and the Divinity Original Sin games were like this, too. Like, there was a lot of, like, combinations of using items and your abilities to, you know, magnify that kind of stuff. I mean, it's the basic, like, you know, shoot the red barrel and make it explode stuff, but with, fireballs and cans of grease, I guess. And you can walk into a place, like if you use lightning in the middle of water, it like carries. So kind of like use your brain to think about the situation and come up with the best solution. The world itself is pretty cool. There's a lot going on. A lot of places to explore. The places are very big. Sometimes you'll find things you don't quite want to find. Like, for instance, so I found this on a hilltop. There was this big piece of meat roasting over a fire with an enchanted dagger sticking out. So I sent my vampire to go take the dagger out of the roast. And next to the hill was, like, a barn. And I'm like, this piece of meat was really big. I bet an ogre was eating it. So I bet the ogre's in the barn. So, of course, me being me, I had to go open the door and see. I open the door, and it's a female ogre being bent over by a male bugbear.
Oh.
Like having sex in the barn.
All right, you sold me.
That was all Jeff needed.
I actually heard the game is very horny.
Yeah, one of the first things you could do is turn off the nudity settings if you want to. There's too much horny. I obviously left them on. So
can you turn the horny up?
We need more bugbear ogre sex. Much as possible. I don't even remember what I said, but my son who was like 10 feet away from me on the couch playing something else, he's like, "What is it, Daddy?" And I'm like, "Nothing."
Time to have this talk.
Yes, when an ogre and a bugbear love each other very much.
Oh, well.
Arnie wants to get this game, but it's just like, what's the ones they made before? Pillars of Eternity?
No, these are the Divinity games.
Pillars of Eternity is very similar.
Yeah, that is similar, but
I just can't, like, it's just like the slow, boring version of Diablo.
Like, isometric turn-based. Yeah, it's not Diablo. It looks like Diablo, like the isometric perspective, but it is not Diablo.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I could see getting into it if I gave it enough time. But I'm not going to buy it full price. Actually, I can't buy it at all right now because I believe it's not on Xbox.
You can get on PS5.
Oh, that's right. I do own that. I forgot. Yes. I already forgot. I own a PS5.
It is coming to Xbox. They're just having like a technical issue with the split screen co-op.
Well, one day.
Yeah. Neat. I'm looking forward to it at some point. Any tie to the first two games?
I think it takes place like later, like after the first two games, and so far away that all the characters from the first two games are dead.
Okay.
But I haven't verified that, so I may run into someone at some point and be like, "Oh,
well, I know that was a complaint of the early access is that like there's no real tie to like one or two, and that saga. So like, why is it even called Baldur's Gate 3? Like, I don't know. Like, I assume there will be some story relationship to it at some point. It's just." Also, not everything needs to be tied together. Like, it's a game that takes place in that same world. Like, well, I hope it works out for you. I hope it's you enjoy it, and Jeff and I may play it at some point. Earl, is that something that you would hop into?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm more curious to hear impressions, but no, it's something on my radar. But like Tony says, I don't know when it's going to Xbox. And unlike Jeff, I don't forget I don't own a PlayStation 5 at the moment. I mean, that will be changed in the next 2 months when my good friend Spider-Man makes his appearance. But
why I bought the PlayStation. And now I'm like, I don't know, I should probably get Mario instead.
I mean, you can play more than one game at a time.
What?
I could, yeah, I could get them both, but it's like, I don't know.
Who are you and what have you done with Jeff? Yo, what is this like?
The day that those games come out, what are you going to want to play? You know what I mean? It's like, I think, even though I think 2D Mario is not that exciting, I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably sell you my PlayStation 5, bro.
It's like I need Mario Wonder. I don't want to play Spider-Man anymore.
I don't know. I'm like, why did I buy this?
I mean, hopefully something will come along. I don't know what that'll be, Jeff.
Did
you try Returnal?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Okay. I think we talked about this. Like it'll be hard to make like serious progress in that. Like you would have to
commit
to that game.
Yeah,
but it does feel fun. Like it feels like control wise, it feels like Ratchet and Clank. Strangely enough, which feels really good.
Okay, I mean I could get behind that. I know it's much harder than Ratchet and Clank, but
it's like that double jump dash type feel. You know what I mean? Like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys play anything else this week?
Well, not a new game. Though first for me, I went away this weekend with some friends, and I had bought Overcooked All You Can Eat Edition, which is Overcooked 1, 2, and DLC all bundled in. So I paid two a ton, because 2 has all 9. I've hated it a ton during the pandemic. I've hated it when it was on Game Pass. But I really, I've never really played Overcooked 1. I think because that was a local multiplayer game. And I mean, Overcooked 1 is Overcooked 2, but it's that Sonic to Sonic the Hedgehog 2 thing where like 2 adds such a Baidu move that it's so weird to go back to 1 and not have it there. So in 2 and beyond in the DLC, I guess, you're able to actually like toss food. Like there's, you know, there's tasks where like you're across the kitchen or like there's moving things. So you can toss food back and forth. Not prepared food, so like, you can toss raw ingredients and stuff. You can't do that in
tomatoes and
yeah. Well, yes, before they're chopped or whatever. Like once they're cooked, you can't. But like yes, with this one you can't do that. So like when those stages come up, like we just kept on trying to figure out how do you toss them back. And it becomes more of a puzzle or a challenge to be like, oh, you actually have to time it now. It's like when these like the vehicles are moving, like you have to like go on, get to the other side, prepare that stuff, bring it back, or have somebody like no, there was 4 of us, so have somebody be a runner between like the 2 cars as they're moving and stuff. And like again, the stages were like there'll be stages. I mean, honestly speaking, I just think it's a bit more unfair without their ability to toss stuff because like there's a stage where like the ground raises up. Like if you're up top, you can't do anything. If you're down, you can't do anything. So it's just like one of those things where it's like, oh, it kind of sucks when like something just happens and you're not prepared because you do have to restart it again. But it's just like, I don't understand how you wanted us to actually accomplish this in a way that isn't just like play the stage, learn its gimmick, come back to the stage with the gimmick in mind and start working around that. I'm like, that's just not fair, especially after playing 2 so much and being like, I know you have a solution for this. You do it in the second game. Why not? Like, I thought if you're going to bundle this all, why not add that feature to the first game? I know it breaks it, but I'm like, yeah, you know, I thought that was the purpose of like the All You Can Eat edition because like, yeah, it also confused us because, you know, it's like one of those games that when it loads in between the apples, it tells you like, oh, you know, press this button. It does this. So it does tell you how to throw food because it doesn't change the button prompt if you're playing 1 or 2. It's just a general menu. So it's like, oh, we can do it. And it took us like 2 or 3. It's like, oh, no, there's a star that says this is introduced in 2 and it's DLC or whatever. But Overcooked remains fun. It remains something that does break up friendships. We would play, and my friend would play for like half an hour before he's like, okay, this is enough. We're going to stop this because it's very stressful for some people.
Yeah.
Very stressful for some people. And I get it.
I'm very slow and methodical in the kitchen. Like I, you know, something that would take someone else like a half hour to cook takes me an hour. Cause I'm just like, that's just how I am. That's the same in this fucking game. I hate this game. Fuck Overcooked. And I play with someone who like worked in the kitchen a bunch, and it's just like it's just not fair. I fucking hate Overcooked.
So my girlfriend and I play with another couple, and my girlfriend is not a gamer, but the other couple both were gamers. They would spend the entire time fighting.
Yeah, that's
so I'm like
right.
I'm like running around the screen doing as much as I can. They're fighting and my girlfriend is just kind of roaming around trying to figure out what button does what.
Well, but to have if it makes Jeff feel better, like part of it is because like, again, 4 people you're kind of trying to communicate. We just started to just be asses, like so we just like burgers coming up, chef. That is needed, chef. And just all of us just kind of doing the bare thing to just like yeah. Again, if you have 4 people, you try to give people different tasks. Like,
yeah,
you
know, it's just
one friend was doing dishes and he got really upset at me once because I was like, there's a dirty dish I'm just gonna bring to the sink to wash. He's like, no, I'm doing dishes. I'm like, okay, we're not touching the dishes. I'm just, but I get it. Like, you kind of want to have this. Like, I have one friend who's really good at like being a taskmaster, like, because like the game does this thing, which I guess is wise. Where well, like the you know, the food's at the top of the menu, and you just kind of assume in your head like it goes in order, but there will be times where like the first 2 aren't what you need. It's like the 3rd one's the one that's more urgent. And then like it goes back, whatever. And I just feel like you did different orders and different things and it just screws it up eventually. So like he's really good at like, kind of shouting it out and just being like, okay, this is what we need. Just like, let's focus on this. Let's not do that. Because again, like sometimes if we give people tasks, it's like, okay, we're going to make like, you know, like, okay, we're going to have like, I think there's one stage where it's like you can make mushroom soup, tomato soup, and garlic soup. I don't know who eats garlic soup, whatever. So, but what happened is like somebody gets it in their head, like, wait, this is my task. I'm just going to put a bunch of tomatoes up. But it's like, if you don't need tomatoes, then it's just Shutter in the Fuhrer, because there's a bunch of tomatoes.
Yeah, you need to be doing something else. Like, you need to, like, rotate what you're doing a little. Like, it kind of simulates, like, being in a kitchen. Like, if, you know, especially, like, you know, like a restaurant or something, where it's like, shit is constantly coming. You gotta work together. You might have to, like, improvise a little bit. Like, it's a really cool game, but man, I do not like playing it that much. Chris, have you played these games?
I've not ever played Overcooked.
It's like you said, it's stressful, man.
It's just co-op too, right? Like,
you're all working together.
Yeah.
That is the sad thing about it. It's like, you are friends working together to accomplish one goal. But I think, and this is, I mean, to be fair, this is the same thing kind of happens with certain board games. It's like, you have people who are, it's, I mean, to Tony's point, it's sometimes it's a mixture of personalities and styles. It's like, some people are very chill, just like, okay, I'm going to do this. And other people are like, okay, we need to get on this ball. We need to do this, this. I will say, I'm sometimes that person. Like, we get two stars, like, we're going again. We're going to get 3 stars. We got this. Just like, stick to your thing. Like, it's, I tend to be a very calm person usually, but there are times when we play this game where I'm just like, I need to just like, take a deep breath. It's not that serious. We have it under control. We're just going to pause the game, restart the shovel. Just make sure everybody's on the same page as to what they're doing before we go again. And it's just like, okay, I know I'm getting angry at this and it's stupid, but I know I'm getting angry, so.
I think there's sometimes on Game Pass. I think Overcooked 2 might have been on Game Pass.
I don't know if it's still on, but yeah, that's...
It's probably gone now, but I don't know if it pops up. I would try it, Chris, just because they're well made, and... Yeah, like, I can see the appeal of it, but, like, it stresses me out. It gets me mad. Like,
I don't even know
how much, weird.
I don't even know how much this was, because I think I got the All You Cooked edition was like $10 or $15. Because
I always had sale too.
Yeah, because I owned Overcooked 2 already, and I owned it, and it was on Game Pass. But I was like, oh, there's more Overcooked, and then it came with all the DLC, and then you get, you know, you get all the chefs. So there's something like, I don't know, like 25, 30 chefs you can pick. They all do the same thing, but, you know, everybody might say, oh, there's a narwhal, there's a beaver, whatever. And it's like, it's fun to see, so.
Two is, looks like, at least on PC Game Pass, it's there, so. Probably is on regular Game Pass as well.
But I will say, I've actually never, because you can play it solo. I don't, like, I think you get one computer help. I don't know how that actually works, though.
That doesn't seem like it would be fun, though, right? Like, the fun of this is the chaos that comes from you playing with friends and seeing if how you would do it. I mean, I guess it could be fun playing by yourself, but
I don't think, again, I think the half the fun of, it's like Mario Party. Like, you can play Mario Party on your own. Doesn't mean that you want to play Mario Party on your own.
There's like a whole bunch of like add-ons and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I got the All You Can Eat edition, because it comes with all the DLC, and because it's like character packs, and there's like a winter festival and some other stuff. It's also, and just kind of going all the way back, it's also kind of insane that like this game, these games have like stories. Like this one, the enemy is a giant spaghetti and meatball who has like this frightening knife and fork thing. And then the actual shot is like, I think you're not strong enough to defeat him at first. So you get sent back in time about 20 years to train your co-op abilities and your abilities to cook. And like every time you finish a world, it's like 2 years has passed, 4 years has passed. I'm like, we spent 2 years learning how to cook tomato soup. Okay, game, you do you. But yeah, yes, there is an actual story. The second one has a story too. I think it's a bit more straightforward. The second one, I think, is the zombie bread. The unbred that rise up. But I guess there are stories, and it's so stupid. I'm happy that they embrace the stupidity of it at all. Like, it was, all my friends are so happy because, like, the onion is the king of this realm. So, and he has a cute doggy.
So is the All You Can Eat one, is that both games?
Yes.
Okay. I see that. And Overcooked 2 is on Game Pass.
Okay.
All right. That seems fun. Anybody else play anything?
No.
No. Alrighty. I don't think there's much in the way of news, at least not from what I'm looking at here. Nope.
Oh, before you go on news, not news related at all, but it did remind me. I did finish Twisted Metal.
Okay.
I enjoyed it enough to actually finish it. Like I said, it does work out, I think, near the end when a lot of that stuff starts coming back. And I think, just like you rated, I think they realized that the show might be better than they were advertising it as, and maybe it could cater to fans, because like I started seeing commercials where they actually like, name the characters, like they have trolls where it's like, oh, this is so-and-so from the game. Granted, I don't play Twisted Metal enough to know, but like, okay, this is Calypso, this is, you know, Sweet Tooth, this is John Doe, this is the Beast Man, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I mean, spoilers, I guess, apologies. At the end, it kind of felt like the newest Mortal Kombat movie. Not in the sense that I think John Doe's an actual character in
Twisted Metal.
In Twisted Metal. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, the big cliffhanger of this is like, oh, now that this is done, we're going to have like the tournament, like car combat tournament. And it's like, how do you ask Mortal Kombat? It's like, everything's leading up to like, oh, now we're going to do the tournament with the next movie. This is like, oh, now we're going to do it all out. Because this actually, for a show called Twisted Metal, not a ton of actual car to car combat in this show. And there's one in the beginning. There's a few tiny ones sprinkled out. There's one in the penultimate episode. And then, like, the final episode is, like, a big one in an arena. And it's like, oh, you see that. And it's like, okay, this is where a lot of your budget goes. So that's why you don't do too many of them. But it was just like, oh, okay, we can, it looks like we're going to work. If they get a season two, it looks like that's going to be the focus of season two, is, like, this tournament. Yeah.
Okay, that's weird that would be how they go about it, but oh, all right. John Doe is a character in Twisted Metal Black and Twisted Metal Lost.
Yeah, it does seem like they take a lot of influence from Twisted Metal Black, from what I've researched, because John Doe, and then he drives like a junker car. It seems like he's like the default main character for the series, and like he has like the generic car, like it's just a muscle car that's tricked out.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what Twisted Metal Lost is, but
no, never heard of it.
Black was that the PS3? Yeah, PS2. PS2 Twisted Metal game, which is considered one of the better ones, I think, in the series. So. All right. Not much in the way of news, honestly. There were layoffs reported out of Striking Distance Studio. That was the Callisto Protocol developer. Not sure like what exactly like going on there. I don't know if they're financially in trouble, but they laid off 32 employees.
What is the percent? Is that some? It's 30%. You know,
they were a smaller studio. So
yeah, I was gonna say because 30 people at like EA's. It's still a big deal. It sucks, but that's different than like 30 people. Like if you had 90 people.
Yeah, I think it's like 20% because that's based on numbers I heard of how many people worked on making Callisto Protocol. I'd heard 150 were on that team, so. 32 that's a good chunk of that. Striking Distance Studios have implemented strategic changes to realign the studio's priority to better position its current and future projects. These changes have impacted 32 employees. So it's sad, but that game did not hit as well as I think they were hoping for.
Yes, but it also seems like what they were hoping for was a lot more than even.
Yes,
you would. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a new IP, and they were expecting to hit Dead Space numbers with it. They were not Dead Space.
Did Dead Space hit Dead Space numbers?
I don't know what the Dead Space remake did. It did significantly better than Callisto Protocol did.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know if it did. If Dead Space was around a 4 to 6 million seller in the first three games, I don't know what the Dead Space remake did. But even that, like, that's the reason it took so long for us to get the Dead Space remake, was because EA wasn't happy with that number. So, according to Samsung Securities, Krafton, who I guess is the parent company for Striking Distance, expected Callisto Protocol to sell around 5 million copies, and it has only sold 2 million as of now. So they were expecting big sales, and it did not hit the way they wanted it to. Shame for those employees, though.
Yeah, always a shame.
And Zelda, I guess Zelda is out there selling the hell out of itself. So
yeah, I was gonna say, on the other end of the spectrum, Zelda did what, almost 20 million in 6 weeks.
Yes, something along those lines. So
that seems okay.
Yeah. Pretty good, right?
Nintendo may or may not be out of business soon. Who knows? Though I think they also reported their best quarter ever, their best Q1 ever. I mean, you have a game that sells 20 million and a movie that does 1.3 billion at the box office.
You're going to do pretty good.
You're going to have a, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the vast differences between a indie horror developer and mega publisher like Nintendo.
That sounds like a great time for Nintendo to launch a new console.
Yeah, I guess that rumor's out there too, that Walt dropped that into our chat this week.
It seemed a bit more than rumor, like that was dev kits were going out.
Yeah, the dev kits are out there, so it's like, I guess it's leaking from studios that they are working on whatever the Switch successor is. And yeah, it looks like it's targeting next fall, 2024.
Yeah. That sounds 100% correct.
Yeah. I mean, when did the Switch come out?
2017.
So we're looking at what
it probably would have been this year if wasn't there the whole chip shortage problem and all that. Like,
I mean, honestly speaking, I think it was COVID, the combination of COVID and Animal Crossing, that just kind of gave them like an extra year and a half, because yeah. That, like, I mean, like the PlayStation 5, and you just couldn't find anything because they were just selling. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is the seventh year. And it's still neck and neck kind of year to year in the States, with the PlayStation 5 as the best selling system. And in Europe, it's the best selling system in Japan. So there's still, the problem is really, I do think like Zelda, I think 2D Mario has potential. I mean, 2D Mario will sell well. I don't know if it's going to move units, is what I'm saying, in a greater quantity than the people who have, you know, you have New Super Mario Brothers, you Duck, you have Odyssey, you have 3D World. There's three main Mario game fan.
I'm just happy they're still like really supporting the system, and
yes, unlike the Wii and the Wii U, which kind of had
really sad final years.
The Wii U in particular had no final year. The Wii U was just like, we have nothing, so you're gonna, like, that's what it did to NES and Super Nintendo cast. Like, we need something for the holidays.
The GameCube back in the day had a really abysmal final year too.
Honestly speaking, I would say outside of the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, I think most of their final years are usually pretty terrible.
I'd say like this year has been fantastic, and like,
but if it's next fall, that means the start of next year would be the end of it, really.
We're running on 2017 hardware. I think Pikmin 4 looks great. Like,
Yeah, yeah, well, that's something Nintendo has done really well over the years, is that their art styles, like, and I think Pikmin 4 has some beautiful imagery in it. It is not, like, as visually, I don't want to say stunning, but as dynamic or as detailed as, like, some other stuff, but it works really well for what that game is. And
that game actually has more realism than something like Zelda. Like it like,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
And it's like, again, it's not like blowing my mind, but it looks really good.
Their games tend to look really, like, I was playing some Double Dash recently, and that game still, like, I mean, what's that, 20 some years at this point? Like, that game still looks really good. Just because they know how to kind of, like, utilize their art style. It's not something that ages really quickly. So we're looking at 2024, like, sometime second half 2024, probably holiday. What do you guys think is the, like, you think it's a 3D Mario is the launch title? It kind of has to be, right? Like,
it's
only said that, and it sounds so right, dude.
I was going to say, it's either that or honestly speaking, just because there's not been an actual new one in over a decade now, Mario Kart 9.
I'm still pretty confident that that's coming. I don't care. Really? Yeah. Why not?
You think Mario Kart 9 is coming before? Well,
I think you could have two launch titles.
Oh, okay.
You can have more than two on titles.
I thought you were saying that it was like, you were pretty confident it was still coming on the Switch. And like,
no, just I think there's people that think that we're not getting a new Mario Kart because 8 is just like forever, and, you know,
it is so like, looking at it like over the weekend, it's like just the massive amount of content in that game is nuts.
Also, I've still not played the final one's out, the final set of tracks, right?
Final one's not out. That was wave 5. There's still one more, I think.
Oh, there's still one more.
Okay. There's another one coming.
I've not played the latest set yet, which is crazy.
I believe they also released two characters with that too, or were they part of wave 4?
They're part of this. I don't that was in Birdo. But
Birdo was the last one.
Yeah, they released characters. I think the problem is good on them. I just really need time to one day I want to just schedule a session and just like do Mario Kart, because like it's one of those things, like I see tracks, I'm like, oh, that's really cool, and it's because it's not a new game and it just kind of drops randomly I'll check that out at some point.
Very good content though.
Yes.
Okay, so Jeff is thinking Mario Kart 9 and 3D Mario. Okay.
It's just
Metroid. I don't think they do both. I could actually see Metroid Prime 4 move into the launch title or launch window title.
But not by itself. Like it's
not by itself. It would be like
Mario and Metroid, right?
Yes, it would be.
It feels like Odyssey 2 feels so right. Like we're so due for a new 3D Mario.
Yes, I mean, because the last one was Odyssey. So the things I could potentially see within like the first year, just based off of what, you know, Xenoblade 4, that would have been over 2 years since 3 came out. We have not seen Donkey Kong since the Wii U.
That's okay.
It does well. I mean, Kirby's always around. I can see Kirby. I don't see Kirby at launch, but like a Forgotten Land sequel, like within that first year or so.
Yeah. That was a very good Kirby game, too.
Yeah.
And I know I don't think it, but a 2D Zelda game, like I think Between Worlds sequel or something like that, or even like a port of like A Link's Awakening. Not a Link to the Past or something like that, done in like Link's Awakening style.
So, additional to that, I mean, they're skirting around the backwards compatibility talk at this point. I mean, that wouldn't be something that devs would know about anyway from their hardware. That's like a decision that'll be added in later. Do you think it goes backwards compatible? I kind of feel it has to.
I feel like it's hard pressed not to. I mean, I can't say they got in too much trouble because it, but like, you know, it's one of those things I think early on you need, especially when it comes to digital. I think one of the reasons we accepted it with the Switch was because of them going from like a CD or, you know, disc based system to a cartridge based one. There's no way to physically do that. Where this one, I mean, part of the reason they were like so intent on like you need an NSO account is to tie your purchases to an account that you can transfer from system to system. And I think that would need to include your digital purchases.
I think that I know everyone like is used to them like fucking us over. It's like you have to rebuy things or whatever. I really think that like your digital purchases are carrying over. And I do think that the console will be backwards compatible with the cartridges from the Switch. But the very minimum, it's going to be like, it should be the same
eShop. It'll play anything that's on the eShop for the Switch. Like,
I think whether
or not they go carts again, I don't know if they will.
I think that, I do think that, well, I mean, if they're doing another Switch, it would be,
right? Well, what I mean by that is, like, whether they do even a physical release of it.
Nah, I think they will. I think backwards compatible.
I hope so.
I think backwards compatible, and I think, like, you could take it to the bank that your digital purchases are going to carry over. I don't see them doing that again. They've gotten away with it too many times. You know, from going from the Wii to the Wii U and the Wii U to the Switch.
The NSO, you know, like the N64, Super Nintendo, Game Boy Advance stuff, you think that carries over?
I can't see them resetting that for a fourth time, because you have to redo it on the Wii to the Wii U. You have to redo it on the 3DS. And I mean, it's possible, but I don't see how you get away with it again.
Do we get anything else? Like, do they start reworking maybe DS games to be playable on? Because like DS emulation is out there; it is doable.
Well, I think they need to start. I mean, because before DS, we still haven't really gotten GameCube.
You mean like GameCube Tab? GameCube. That's what I was just gonna say.
Yeah,
put the fucking figure it out and put the game. I know you're like repackaging and reselling these GameCube games separately, but just give me some of them.
The original GameCube versions.
Yeah, right? And you know, they're not doing it with all of them. But like, give me, it would be so cool. Oh my god, dude. One can dream.
Yeah, I mean, I hope all that stuff comes forward, so.
I do think that, again, I know it's like, based on their history, you want to think that they're going to make you just rebuy all this stuff again, but I just don't see them rethinking the eShop and their Nintendo Switch Online again and trying to make it as seamless as possible. Like,
you do.
I do. I don't.
Why? Why?
I just feel like even they at this point realize that like it doesn't make sense to redo it over and over and over.
I don't know. Every time I see Nintendo deal with one of these situations, they still seem to deal with it wrong. I just don't.
I don't know. My buddy is odd. It's carrying over. If not, then my money's on rebuying everything again.
and I think that's the thing, is that they know that even if they do what's not necessarily what other console makers, like, people are going to spend their money.
Yeah, I mean, I would, I guess, but like, it just doesn't. I don't know. It feels like they figured out like how the internet works at this point, and it just feels like that's
and how it's expected to operate in a digital age. I mean, I hope that it is what you're expecting, Jeff. But
I really get the tendency, like, based on history, to want to be cynical about it. But it just, like, at this point, it would be almost kind of outrageous if they did it again. You know what I mean?
It would be, but this is Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. I think it'll work out. It'll be fine.
I mean, regardless, I'm going to get whatever it is. So
one way or another, yeah.
I want to play whatever that new 3D Mario is. So.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that is that. Not much else in news. So we will not be back next week. These guys can record. They can do whatever they want.
We're gonna record.
Sure we are. Sure we are. The week after.
not me making plans for next Thursday already.
In case they don't record based on this. I'll have a Chris's Cart Corner up on Disney Speedstorm. And then we'll be back the week after. I don't know what games are coming out outside of Baldur's Gate that's out now, so
the Baldur's Gate hour. Done.
Yeah, I mean I'll have played more Pikmin. I'm sure Jeff will have maybe completed level 5.
Ogre Sex Hour.
Ogre Sex Hour. We could have that talk for sure. Nobody's getting Madden, right? Like at least not at launch. Is that out yet?
No idea.
And you're normally the one that goes for yes. Madden, so
I'm against it now. So
yeah. Texas Chainsaw will be coming out. I don't know if that'll be before we record again though, so
yeah, that's Game Pass too, right?
Yes.
Dude. I hope you get some non-horror people to play some Texas Chainsaw. Cause that would be hilarious.
I mean I'm into trying it. So. Yeah, but that's the 18th, so that'll be after we record. So well, I don't know, we'll talk Baldur's Gate, we'll talk Pikmin. Maybe we'll talk some board games, because I'm bringing some board games up on my vacation.
Ooh. I play some board games.
Are you guys Splendor people?
No, I've never played Splendor. I know you talked pretty highly about it, but I've not tried it yet.
You would love it. Splendor is great.
I have played that. Wait, let me just make sure I'm thinking of the right game.
It's one with the chips.
Yes, where you're basically playing a resource taking game where you're all trying to complete different objectives. That's on the table, right? And then as you complete them, you pick up new ones.
No, you're just every turn you get to take a couple chips and you use those chips to buy cards and then
yeah, that's what I said. You've completed tricks and as you complete them, it's like you can do something and somebody can screw you over before you get it.
Isn't the aesthetic of it like a stained glass window?
That is Sagrada.
Okay, different game.
That is, I have that as well. That's good. But like Splendor is like simple, dude. It's like fucking, you'll get it by the time you're done playing the first game and like your kids will get it and everyone will like it. And it's just, Splendor is just fucking perfect. Like,
nice.
I don't know anyone who's like bought Splendor who like does not love Splendor.
So say, maybe we'll do a board game episode at some point.
Yeah. We have not done one in a while. So
basically though, you're trying to buy cards in the game and,
yeah. And the cards are like, you need certain types of resources to complete them.
Buy the cards, but like what you're trying to do is get cards that have points on them. And so like some cards will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. And whoever gets 15 points first is the winner. That's all it is. It's just like,
got it. Very simple.
It's very anyone could understand it. And it's just like the best games are like that. They're very simple and there's a little bit of strategy involved and everyone could enjoy it, you know.
All right, that one sounds neat. I've actually we got the Star Wars game, Star Wars Villainous. Evidently, that's a Disney line of board game, Villainous, where they have like Disney villains. They also have Marvel villains. But I bought this Star Wars one, bringing that up on vacation. We have not played it yet, so.
Mm.
And I bought a new Ticket to Ride map, so. They're always fun. All right, well, we will we'll be back in 2 weeks. If your feed auto updates, you'll get a Chris's Cart Corner dropped in there as well. Jeff, say goodnight.